So we're really pleased to welcome to the program today, First Norfolk District State Representative Bruce Ayers of Quincy for kind of a status update on how things are going, both in his personal and professional life. Bruce, great to see you.
Great to see you, Joe. It's been a while, and all is well with Maureen and I. We've been keeping our mask on and our head down.
Like all of us, exactly. Yeah, just waiting for the light at the end of the tunnel here, for sure. Has there been any in-person activities at the State House yet?
No, not really. You know, Speaker Mariano and the other leaders are taking precautions. You know, they want to make sure that we've kind of turned the corner, that everything is safe to get back in the building, and they're taking many precautions. So we've been able to take steps to address that with Zoom meetings, of course, for committee assignments. And, it's been working out well, you know, but it's going good.
Before we talk about the obvious, you know, pandemic-related stuff, how's things in Squantum? And how is, your little conclave here in the city coping during this time?
Everybody seems to be doing well. You know, they're trying to take as many precautions as they can. You know, social distancing, the basics, you know, wearing your mask, washing your hands, using hand sanitizers, being cautious where they go out. I think they realize, we're turning the corner, hopefully. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, and we just need to kind of stick together. We'll get through it as long as we take the right precautions, you know. So it's slowly getting back to, I think, a little bit of normalcy.
Yeah. What are you hearing from folks in the business community in your district right now, Bruce?
They're concerned, you know, and it kind of leads into legislation we just recently passed at the State House, a comprehensive bill that deals with helping out people with COVID, whether it's unemployment insurance or dealing with small businesses with the PPP, the personal paycheck protection. As far as small businesses, people who have small businesses that have qualified for this loan to help them maybe stay afloat during these tough economic times. You know, recently the House and the Senate, in the legislation we passed, have a provision in there where they wouldn't be taxed for the loans that they had received. So this was a kind of a big shot in the arm for those businesses, because to give them that money that they so desperately needed just to keep going, to get through this tough period of time, and then to tax them on that money would have been a big setback for them. You know, as a former small businessman myself, I realize, these are tough times out there. So it's important we do whatever we can to assist the small businesses. You know, I know Tim Cahill with the chamber has been a big advocate supporting this type of legislation. And, the House did pass it. The Senate passed it. It's on the governor's desk right now.
What about
Joe, there was 140. There was 140,000 small businesses that took advantage of that.
Oh, that's great. That's good. I know here in Quincy as well, the city was able to help some small businesses with loans and grants too.
Yes. And, a lot on the other side, my office, along with the members of the delegation, have received an awful lot of calls from people looking for unemployment assistance, helping them file the claims, process the claims, if there was a problem with the computers or the service, or, making sure it basically got the attention it deserved, So as you can imagine, the last year has been dominated by those two issues, whether it's helping out small businesses or helping out people just get the proper funding they need through unemployment.
Yeah, I know there was a big problem with, fraudulent claims. Where does that stand right now?
Yeah, well, they're still trying to track down a lot of those. It's tough to determine, sometimes where they're coming from, so we're we're trying now to do the best we can to decipher that, but that's more of an internal, I think, type of investigation they'll be dealing with.
Sure. Do you think there'll ever be a move, Bruce, or is there a move to not tax unemployment benefits?
That's hard to say. You know, right now, there's a lot of uncertainty. You know, we're working with the congressional delegation, you know, on the monies coming down from Washington. We're working closely with them to see how it's going to trickle down into the State House and how we can best, you know, delegate or administrate those fundings, you know, to the city of Quincy and all our legislative districts. You know, that's probably one of our biggest and most important roles, you know, working, you know, obviously with Mayor Koch and the city councilors and the school committee, making sure we can get as much funding as we can as possible to help them administer the city budget, the various programs that they run, same with the school committee, you know. So that's the number one priority right now for us, you know, making sure that people have access to these vaccinations, that they're being treated fairly, making sure that we're going to have some stability with the state funds. You know, it's all on the forefront. But I tell you, you know, Speaker Mariano has done a great job. He's put together a great team. You know, right now we're working with Ways and Means, and we'll be going through that budget process shortly.
Yeah, can we talk a little bit about the vaccine rollout and how you feel it's going?
Well, right now, the state, the latest number, I just heard this yesterday, they've vaccinated, I think it's 1.3 million in the state of Massachusetts. And as it is currently, people 60 years of age and over are eligible for the vaccine. And next week, April 5th, it will be people 55 and older will be eligible. And I believe that shooting for later in April, I think it's the 19th or the 20th, anyone 16 and over will be eligible. And in a big move, the governor that came out with Mark is they're working on a program now, a new initiative where they can address homebound. So some of the seniors or people that might have physical limitations can qualify for a homebound visit. I have that number for you. It's, let's see, it is 844-771-1628. So this would be for someone who obviously would have, they would be in need of someone, almost like if you were going to take an ambulance somewhere, you need additional assistance by a couple people. So there are requirements for them to qualify for. But when they contact that number, they can give them the basic information to see whether or not they qualify. But even the others, you know, if you're not eligible yet, there is a website that the administration launched that you can sign up and and schedule ahead of time.
Yep, I've actually done that myself. It was a very smooth process, and I'm just waiting, you know, for my turn in line, basically.
Yeah. You know, locally, you know, the city of Quincy has done a great job partnering with Manet Community Health Center. You know, to date, I think they've vaccinated over 10,000 people. I've seen it firsthand. I've been volunteering down there on Friday mornings, and Cynthia Sierra and Amy O'Brien and the team of volunteers they have doing a fantastic job. You know, they're working, of course, out of 180 Old Colonial Ave, and it's the old Howard Johnson's building. So it's got the right type of footprint. You know, it's such a big building. You know, there's good common areas where people can go safely, social distance, waiting rooms before and after you get vaccinated. It's just a great program that they have down there, and you know, they deserve an awful lot of credit for what they're doing.
Yeah, there's no question. They have been on the forefront of this really from the beginning. The city's so fortunate to have them to provide services here for sure.
Yeah, we'll get through it as long as, you know, we stick together and you know, take all the proper precautions.
As you're well aware, Bruce, Congressman Lynch was in the city not too long ago to announce the American Rescue Plan in Massachusetts. That means almost $8 billion and Quincy's sharing $46 million of that. Can you talk a little bit about how the money is going to be allocated?
Well, that is great news. And Congressman Lynch in his office does a fantastic job advocating for his district, the city of Quincy, and all the other areas that he represents. I think, again, very similar to what we're doing at the State House, I'm sure the mayor and the councilors are looking at it to try to figure out how best this money can be spent over the next couple of years. It's going to be more of a short and long-term type of goal to take a look at these finances and see how it's going to play out. It's a little early now. We're still navigating our way through certain aspects of it. But to have that type of funding, 4 or 5 months ago, things weren't that certain. And it was looking pretty dim. So this puts us obviously in a much better light. Now it's just finding out how these monies will trickle down, what qualifies, what doesn't qualify, and how we can best take advantage of that.
Sure. Any sense for where the state budget will be standing in the next fiscal year?
I will know that soon. We just had all our committee assignments a month ago. We just filed all the bills. House Ways and Means will be getting their budget shortly. So we'll probably have more information on that in the upcoming months.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. What are your committee assignments?
Right now, I've been appointed to the Joint Committee on Public Safety, which is a great committee. We get to deal with a lot of the police and fire first responders. I've also been appointed to the Committee on Elder Affairs, which I enjoy. It deals with helping our seniors and a lot of issues related to their lifestyle and independence. I'm vice chair of financial services, which deals a lot with banks and insurance companies and how that trickles down into our districts and business aspects, and also the committee on public service. So it's going to be a busy session.
Oh, is that all? Sounds like
yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Be many Zoom meetings, I imagine, Joe.
at least in the short term, yeah. But it seems to be working for sure. Can we talk a little bit, Bruce, about some of your concerns going into the warmer months now and maybe the way some of your assignments will be able to look at those issues?
Yeah, well, Joe, I get an awful lot of calls from constituents concerned about the upcoming season. Where a lot of people have been homebound and isolated, the weather's starting to turn, vaccines are starting to take shape. We anticipate a big uptick this summer. Some of the projections have us kind of hopefully getting to a lot of our vaccinations being completed over the summer. Based on this, I wanted to make sure that we're up to par with our state services. I'm working right now with Major Kiley of the Massachusetts State Police to talk and address the state police patrols on Wollaston Beach and Quincy Shore Drive this upcoming summer season. A lot of the areas of concern, having the proper police patrols to address the crowds. Currently right now, there are three patrols that are administrated out of the South Boston Barracks that cover South Boston, Dorchester, Quincy, and 10 miles of the expressway I-93. So working with the delegation, we're advocating for an additional designated patrol for the Quincy area, Wollaston Beach, obviously Quincy Shore Drive, Forestburg Parkway, areas of concern. And what we want to make sure we're cracking down on or have a jump on is the types of problems that come up during the summer months. Speeding, loitering, littering, noise, undesirable behavior. Last year, of course, with the parking lot closed, there were issues with off-street parking. So we're working with them now to make sure that we have the proper coverage, whether it's marked or unmarked cars, the motorcycles, the bicycles, and the foot patrols. We want to make sure there's enough coverage down there so that people can go to the beach, enjoy themselves, and take advantage of the beautiful area now that it's completed. You know, and along with that, Joe, on the ocean or in Quincy Bay, you know, there's been a big uptick with the boating recreational aspects. You know, last year with the COVID season, there was a big increase with people purchasing their boats. Same with this year. So, you know, working with the police marine unit, we want to make sure there's proper coverage out there. I know they're offering educational classes, you know, for people interested in boating. So whether they're enjoying the beach or the water, the 27 miles of shoreline that we have to offer, want to make sure that, you know, the proper steps are being taken to be prepared for the summer season. And along with that, Joe, comes our parks. You know, we've got a number of beautiful parks in the city of Quincy, but, you know, some of the city parks, some of the state-owned parks. And what we've done on that area is we've invited the Department of Conservation and Recreational officials to Quincy to perform a site visit to go out to the state-owned parks. In my district, you know, alone, we've got Squanum Point Park, we've got the Hummocks, we've got Wollaston Beach, go up to the Blue Hills. Mm-hmm. You know, and each one of those areas requires a certain amount of maintenance and upkeep, excuse me. So the areas of concern we want to make sure of is having a better understanding, which the site visit will provide with the required type of equipment that's going to be warranted, the proper manpower. We want to make sure that there's no jurisdictional issues. You know, so these are the types of things we want to get out in front on. So when the summertime does hit, that we've taken all these necessary steps. So we'll be working with the delegation closely on that. I know Representative Hunt and Representative Chan, and also obviously the Speaker, are very concerned that, you know, these will all be addressed.
Yeah, have you heard, are they planning to close the parking lot at Wollaston Beach again this year?
We haven't heard that. I don't anticipate they will, but that decision hasn't been made yet.
Okay.
So yeah, that again, we'll have some more information later.
Okay. Very good. So let's hope at least for better weather, sure, where folks can enjoy the outdoors. It's so important.
That's right.
We talk a little bit about some of your legislative priorities, Bruce, some legislation that you'll be sponsoring or have already sponsored.
Sure. Well, this year we filed over 60 bills. You know, when those bills were brought to us through residents of the district, business owners of the district, you know, that we'll be working on together. And there are a whole array of different aspects, you know, whether it's transportation, economic development, education, a number of issues, you know, but there are a few bills now that we're trying to prioritize, you know, that would help with senior citizens, protecting our seniors. There's bills that address the Long Island Bridge issue. You know, there's a bill that I sponsored now that's related to the bridge and how that would work, Joe. It would cover bills, the bill, excuse me, would cover bridges that are either going to be built or rebuilt in areas that fall under two jurisdictions. So in the city of Quincy, obviously, it would be the city of Quincy in Boston with the rebuilding of the Long Island Bridge. But throughout the Commonwealth, it would be other areas, you know, particularly in the western part of the state, you know, where there might be a bridge connecting a rural area with a business zone. There's 460 structurally deficient bridges in the state right now. So what the bill would do is add another layer of scrutiny to some of the current permitting that's there now. It still require everything that's in place, whether it's zoning, whether it's Conservation Commission, whether it's MEEPR, but they would add an extra layer that currently doesn't exist that would create and establish more, I think, cooperation and collaboration, you know, and how that would work. It would create a buffer zone, and in our case here with Quincy in Boston, where it would also bring together a cost-benefit analysis that would come into play as a provision, and an option where you would have to enter into an inter-municipality agreement that would look for other viable options. And probably the best example I can give you would be the ferry service that's been discussed. You know, where the city of Boston is talking to spending well over $100 million to rebuild the bridge. This could be looked at under this bill with these provisions, where is there another alternative? Is there another viable option? What is going to have less impacts on the environment, on the infrastructure of our roads, things like that? And, you know, we all know that, you know, it would be cheaper to run a ferry from the city of Boston to Long Island, which has proven to work, which we already know in the summertime under Camp Harborview, they have a ferry that goes from Boston, of course, right out to Long Island. The bridge, the pier are there. So that's the intent of the bill, to kind of explore more details, more options, viable options that could be available, you know, for cities and towns. In our case, a ferry would certainly fall into that scope. You know, we're very fortunate to live in a coastal community and to have that option, you know, of ferries, because it's going to take traffic off our streets, off our roads. You know, to go into Boston sometimes, where I live on Wayne Street off of Quincy Shore Drive, to get over to Ponset Bridge in the morning, sometimes could take you over 45 minutes. It's raining, you know, so it shows you, you know, to go to Boston and to go over our streets, over the bridge into Quincy, it's going to take an awful lot longer than to try to utilize a ferry service. You know, and another big aspect, Joe, is the savings of, say, $100 million. Rather than using that money to build a bridge, that money could be better spent towards going towards the recovery programs or treating the addictions. You know, so I think we can all agree, you know, people we talk to from Boston, from Quincy, and throughout, obviously, the Commonwealth, you know, there's a strong need for this type of help, and we want to be there, but we want to make sure that our money's being well spent. So this would be an option where that type of funding could be readily available to be put towards those programs.
Yeah, do you know, is the new administration in Boston still keen on rebuilding the bridge?
Well, that was, you know, something that was certainly on my mind when we were drafting it, because, you know, now that Mayor Walsh is gone, you know, becoming the Labor Secretary, you know, Acting Mayor Kim Janey is, you know, taking over. And this would be a way to kind of take a fresh look at things, you know, try to see if we can find a common ground, you know, outside of the obvious permitting process that's going on. This could be another layer of scrutiny and ways of looking at things financially, infrastructural, things like that. So we're optimistic. You know, it's a good bill. I think it'll help a lot of cities and towns.
Yeah. Is it, where's the status of it right now, and how's it been received by your peers?
The bills right now, Joe, it's still early on. So the bills are all being assigned to various committees.
Okay.
So I imagine this will go to the Joint Committee on Transportation, and they'll probably start up late April, May, you know, and then, you know, if people are interested in finding more information about these bills, or if they'd like to either oppose or support them, they can obviously contact my office if they want to testify or write letters of support or opposition. You know, we can give them all that information. So we're looking forward to working with everybody on that.
Okay, good. We just talk a little bit, Bruce, about the MBTA and their plans to restore some of the cuts that were made earlier this year. Do you think that's a good move?
Yeah, which is a key component for getting back to, I think, some type of normalcy, Joe. You know, the transportation aspects are going to play a huge role, you know, in people getting back to work. Again, you know, I give credit to Congressman Lynch when he was in Quincy a few weeks ago. He made a point to talk about the federal stimulus money going to the MBTA. to make sure that that money's being well spent. And of course, they've reversed their decision where they're going to be up and running again, putting together more bus service, and I'm understanding even some ferry service. So it's crucial. Credit to him, the pressure, the MBTA, to make sure that money's being well spent so our residents can get back to work, to be able to rely on transportation, bus service, train service, rail service. That'll be a big component, as you can imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. I know something that's near and dear to your heart, Bruce, and has been for many, many years, is the Helping Hands program. How is it going?
It's going well, Joe. We've been doing it for over 25 years now. I appreciate you bringing it up. You know, it helps us just let people know of this program for Quincy residents. And it's a free program to Quincy residents that are in need of medical equipment, durable medical equipment, things like walkers, crutches, wheelchairs, hospital beds. People donate them to us. We store them at our facility in North Quincy, and we just give them to people free of charge. You know, the whole intent of the program, and it's just an in-kind program, is to help some of our seniors that might not have the right type of insurance coverage, or maybe they're living on a fixed income and they might not be able to afford this type of equipment, but it allows them to, stay at home and live a more independent lifestyle. You know, sometimes having just a little piece of equipment helps make all the difference. So we're very thankful for the people who donate the equipment to our program. It helps us keep our inventory stocked. And to anyone out there watching or listening that might need this type of equipment, please give me a call. I can be reached at 617-472-9877.
Excellent. And I know that right now there's a particular need for a special wheelchair ramp. Is that right?
Yeah. We recently got contacted by a family, Joe. This is something we don't normally get as an item, but unfortunately, someone had passed away in the family, and they're making arrangements to, remove some of the items that were installed on the house. And one of those items is a wheelchair ramp. So this wheelchair ramp is available for anyone who might need this type of equipment. I think there's a picture that you might be putting up on it.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, that's it there. So if your viewers are watching or listening, it's a great ramp. It's an expensive ramp, you know, but again, it could be the difference from keeping our seniors homebound, you know. So if someone would like more information on that, I encourage you to give me a call. There's also, I believe, Joe, a link to our website.
Yeah, we can show folks that as well. Yep.
Yeah. If there is on that link, there is a application form they can fill out, whether it's the wheelchair ramp or any other items like that. You know, they can just fill it out. Once we get it, we'll check our inventory and get back to you.
Okay, great. Yeah, like you say, it could be the meeting between staying in their own home or having to go into, you know, another facility. And you're right, they're right. They are very expensive for sure. We can get that to the right person for sure. Yeah. Anything else we should touch on, do you think, Bruce?
You know what, Drew, we're off to a good start. You know, we're trying to prioritize, obviously, the vaccination rollout, working with residents with unemployment insurance, working with businesses with the PPP loans. The legislative process has begun. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot more as the budget kind of gets underway, where that funding will go, how it's going to trickle down into our districts. The committee assignments will bring up a lot of other different parts of legislation, you know, but we'll be working hard. We've got a great delegation, you know, obviously with Speaker Mariano, a big change and a big boost for the city of Quincy. I'm lucky. I work with great people, Representative Chan, Dan Hunt, John Keenan over in the Senate. So we'll all be working together to advocate for the city of Quincy. And you know, I want to thank you. I know you're very good about working with our colleagues to get the word out, you know, with your show. You do a nice job. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who lives in Quincy, but he goes to Florida for the winters, and he misses the city of Quincy and what's going on. And what he does now is he listens to your podcast.
So oh, very good.
He's up to date with what's going on, and it kind of gives him a sense of still being, you know, in the city of Quincy, even though he's a snowbird. So we certainly appreciate what you do.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. And that, you know, that's part of our goal. We have a great team here too at QATV, and that's our number one mission, is to keep the city informed as to what's going on. So please thank your constituent for me. We appreciate that.
I sure will. The podcasts are a great, great way.
Yep. It's a whole new world, but I still would rather have in person. So hopefully next time we talk, we can do that, Bruce.
I'd like that. Hopefully it'll be soon.
All right. Thanks very much. Have a great one.
Okay. You too, Joe. Thank you.